capacity to discuss programming and operations and maintenance in this new downtown park and what can't then be done in parks in other parts of the city, the three new parks in East Portland, the basic question of equity. And so I would like us, and maybe it's during the budget process, I don't know how it would happen. Clearly this project needs to be done. I feel in some ways I'm between a rock and a hard place. It absolutely needs the programming and the operations and maintenance to be successful. And I think it's somewhat fiscally irresponsible to be making these decisions on a piecemeal basis and outside of the overall budget context.
I could just offer, I know there's been some discussion about having a work session around O&M estimating and process, because it is on a very different cycle than budgeting, and it is something that it evolves over time. And I think that would be very helpful for the council to take a look at that and figure out exactly how it ought to blend with that. With the budgeting process, and just to understand more about how capital projects move forward and these decisions are made.
Thank you, Eileen. That's a very good point, because everybody knows I've been very supportive as a citizen activist and on the council of funding operations and maintenance at the same time. And I'd like us to discuss returning to the previous models where we had a fund set aside so that we expect that as we bring in new parks, we're going to have to fairly allocate those.
We at Parks are open to good ideas, particularly when they save taxpayer money. Again, what I want to just make very clear on what's before us, because what's before us has some very particular history, some prior council action, and has some very particular numbers. This is not a case of a cost overrun. This is a case of the changing scope of work done through a transparent public process over an 11-year period. This is a project that has the largest component of private sector money by ratio than any park that I know of in the city. The council previously made a commitment to cover O&M. It has gone up. Commissioner Fritz is correct in my judgment. We need to be looking system-wide about the impact of all these new obligations we're taking on our ability to provide other services. Because parking's being removed, we're doing something creative, which is trying to fill a little bit of the hole in Sue Keel's budget, which is a small hole because, you know, she's hemorrhaging. And finally, I asked in preparation for this hearing just to understand comparatively what is the amount of O&M we're asking the council to support, operations and maintenance, for this park compared to a comparable park in the area. Because in fairness, we don't compare downtown urban parks with parks in outer East Portland because they have completely different economies. There's completely different engineering challenges. There's apples and oranges. But I took another park, which I thought was a reasonable comparator, which is called Pioneer Courthouse Square. And I was interested to learn that the operating and maintenance budget there is about six times what we are authorizing today for a sister park. Now, the programming in that park is a little different, and some of the security issues are different. But I just want you to know this is about a sixth of the O&M cost of maintaining that. And in that park, there is an enormous private component, which is raised through the board to maintain. And I would be interested in exploring other ways of using the private sector to leverage ongoing O&M. So I thank you for your comments.
Thank you, and that's very helpful. And obviously, you've done this very thoughtfully. I would like, have you explored having the Pioneer Courthouse Square board take over or
sensitive subject? It has been discussed. You can imagine that if we went to every group that was a friend of, and we have 93, and we said, you've been conspicuously successful here, we want you to take over some of our headaches there. It's a sensitive subject because it is not always viewed as a welcome invitation to greatly expand the scope of responsibility. But it is something that we have raised. I'm actually on the board of, I don't know what my capacity is. I'm either a board member or ex officio of Pioneer Courthouse Square Board. It has been raised, and we are discussing it.
And I have one technical question, which I'm going to make because my friend Commissioner Leonard is not here, and that is a question about the bathroom. It's a 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. bathroom rather than a Portland Loo. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And why was that choice made?
The design of the bathroom is a result of the design program that also called for the cafe, but also we needed an enclosure for the site, the park's trash. So we were going to end up with a little structure in that corner of the park one way or the other, and since we also needed a bathroom, also needed the cafe, we went with an enclosed building.
But then it won't be open at night.
Well, Commissioner, who have I been talking to? Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Leonard are working on a proposal to fast-track the Portland Lou's implementation throughout downtown. And I know you've had discussions about a location somewhere in this area. So
The Lou is a wonderful innovation that's being now run out of an enterprise business and Water Bureau. The Lou has a lot going for it, and it's probably the envy of most cities in terms of what the technology. The challenge with toilets, and I'm not an expert on this, I defer to Commissioner Leonard, is that there are ongoing maintenance costs, security costs, and the like. As we take up the challenge that the mayor has issued to greatly expand our capacity on public restrooms, both at places like Ankeny, Lou's that will be placed in and adjacent to parks and natural areas, and then in this particular park, we'll be looking at a multi-pronged strategy. Some will be fixed structures, others will be freestanding loos. But we understand that there must be more public restrooms, and we're going to fast-track a planning process to make that happen.
Thank you.
Any other discussion from council? Thank you very much. Sue, has anyone signed up to testify on any of these?
No one has signed up.
Is there anyone that wishes to testify on items 154, 55, or 156? All right. 154, 155, move to second reading. Can you please call the roll on resolution item number 1156?
Saltzman.
Aye.
Fritz.
Since we're appropriating $475,000 for making the parks budget whole next year and the rest of this, it seems reasonable to also make the Transportation Bureau's budget whole, and so I vote aye.
Fish.
I want to thank Director Keel and her team for all the great work. This is this park is a true collaboration, and in the 11th year of its development cycle, we'll actually open it and have a celebration this fall. But thank you for your good work. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your leading the team's effort, excellent work on this project. It's a very difficult project, having been around it for 11 years. I remember the day that Mayor Katz negotiated the donation of this block to the city, and I think the recognition that you gave Commissioner Fish to the private partners in this is totally appropriate, and I want to underscore that thanks on my part as well. It goes without saying, I think that Commissioner Fish would agree as well, any interim budget decisions need to be considered provisional. To the earlier discussion we had with the council communications item, we're going to probably be cutting budgets next year. So this is a provisional decision that we made to get things going. It's a citywide park, given its location, close to citywide apex of transit, and I'm excited to see it moving forward. Thank you. Aye. Resolution is approved.
Thank you all, and thanks to Hannah Kuhn for her great work, as always.
That gets us to the regular agenda, and if I could beg council's forbearance, I'd like to deal with 1192 Nick so that we can get Mr. Smith on his way. So could you please read the title for council calendar item 1192?
Appoint Chris Smith to the Portland Planning Commission to complete a four-year term that expires on January 14th, 2010.
So I'm requesting that the City Council confirm my nomination of Chris Smith to the Portland Planning Commission, position number 5. Please come forward, Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith will be completing Catherine Charlo's unfinished term that ran from January 14th, 2006 to January 13th, 2010. Mr. Smith has been the Uber citizen advocate for some time now, focusing on transportation, neighborhood issues, and civic engagement. He chairs the Citizen Advisory Committee for Portland Streetcar and has been a citizen representative on the Metropolitan Policy Advisory Committee. He publishes the PortlandTransport.com blog,
quote, a conversation about access and mobility in the Portland-Vancouver metro region. Chris is also a former member of the Board of Governors of the City Club of Portland and 8 years served as a board member of the Northwest District Association and chaired its Transportation Committee. Mr. Smith recently campaigned for city council as a publicly financed candidate. His day job is internet technologist for Xerox Interactive Marketing in Wilsonville, Oregon. And I've concluded they allow you to both telecommute from your chair and many meeting rooms, and they're rather flexible in your required office time. And we thank them for that. He has a BS from the
Rensselaer
Polytechnic Institute and an MBA from Boston University. I'm very pleased to nominate Chris Smith for council's consideration. Mr. Smith, would you like to say something?
Well, yes, I'd like to say thank you. I appreciate the honor, and I am excited by the opportunity. As you all know, because I bug you about it relentlessly, I am passionate about seeing Portland develop as a sustainable city, socially, economically, and, of course, environmentally. I can't imagine a better opportunity to express that passion than serving on Planning Commission while we're working on literally the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity with the Portland Plan and the update of, you know, our major policies in these areas. So I am very much looking forward to this. Thank you.
Any discussion from council?
I'd like to say thank you for serving. It is a huge volunteer commitment, and I'm delighted to see a neighborhood activist, a community organizer, and somebody with a lot of experience on neighborhood land use and transportation issues appointed to the Planning Commission. So thank you to Mayor Adams for that.
Does anyone wishes to testify on council calendar item 1192? Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Pete.
Yeah, hi there, Pete Cole.
I live Welcome to the city council. We only need your first and last name, and you'll have
Cole.
3 minutes.
Okay, I don't need 3 minutes. I'm really happy to see Chris nominated for this position. It's a very important position. I would ask, however, that because he's also involved with the Portland streetcar, that when any issues, because, you know, the Planning Commission now is starting to look at the Portland streetcar plan. They did that, what, 2 weeks ago in their afternoon meeting. I would ask that he recuse himself from anything that have to do with the Portland streetcar. That's it. Other than that, I think he's a great addition to the Planning Commission. Thanks.
Thanks, Pete. Anybody else? All right, Sue, can you please call the roll on council calendar item 1192?
Saltzman.
Well, we appreciate Chris Smith. All of his civic activities, and this will take him to even a higher level of Uber involvement. And we appreciate your willingness to take on the tremendous workload of being a Portland Planning Commissioner. So thank you. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Mayor Adams. Aye.
Fish. Adams.
Well, I also want to thank Catherine Charlo for her work on the Planning Commission and for accepting a job in my office that requires her to quit, making way for Chris Smith. Thank you again. Aye. Congratulations, Commissioner.
Thank you.
All right. Sue, would you please read the title for Emergency Ordinance Council Calendar Item 1190?
Mr. Mayor, could we move this back because we're still waiting from somebody from Mercy Corps to be here?
Oh, okay, sure.
So if we could move it towards the end.
We will hold off on 1190. Can you please read the title for Emergency Ordinance Council Calendar Item 1191?
Authorize a contract for $831,000 with BBC Research and Consulting for the 2009 disparity study.
I'm going to hold off until Commissioner Fish comes back on this one. Can you please then read the title for Resolution Council Calendar Item 1193?
Recognize that Ordinance Number 177920, Adopt the Northwest District Plan, is no longer effective or enforceable.
So please come forward. Obviously, as a staff person, I was around for the consideration of the 2003 Northwest District Plan. It was incredibly controversial, a long time in the making, and we find ourselves now with legal circumstances requiring us to have this resolution today, which staff will describe in greater detail. But this resolution is submitted by my office on the recommendation of the city attorney's office. It is, in their mind, required to eliminate confusion to the city bureaus, neighbors, and the development community and other stakeholders on the current status of the Northwest District Plan. This is a technical, legal requirement. This is by no means a final action on this issue. Rather, a more substantive discussion of this issue will occur in the fall after I have an opportunity giving as well, after I take the opportunity as Planning Commissioner to confer with members of the Planning Commission, my colleagues, and also with the community and the various stakeholders in the community. So that's why we're here today, in a nutshell. Would you like to explain further, more details?
Certainly. Good morning. Brian Sheehan, West District Planner, and with me today is Deborah Stein, District Planning Manager, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I don't know that there needs to be much more said. That was very well put. Mayor Adams, I think you've got a good grasp of the issue that's before us today. Really, what we want to do is clarify that the zoning ordinance and certain zoning and comprehensive plan changes that were made in 2003 are no longer in effect, and that ordinance is invalid.
Okay, questions from council? So we are. If it sounds a little vague and limbo-ish, because that's exactly where we're at.
So we're going back to land use and zoning that existed prior to 2003?
Correct, with the exception of the parking ordinance that was adopted at the same time, or near the same time.
And do we have doesn't that leave properties that have been developed under plan, zoning, or whatever, that now may find themselves a non-conforming use? Does this create potential uncertainties and concerns for those property owners?
It certainly does.
And what's the plan to provide certainty?
So again, I need to confer with each of you. I need to confer with Planning Commission and also the stakeholders in the community, and return to, after that consultation, return in the fall, September hopefully, with a process for moving forward. That's where I'm at. But it's unusual.
Mm-hmm. Have property owners been notified of this?
Yes.
Has there been a notice?
Okay. We sent out notification to approximately 4,200 people, including all the property owners in the area as well as interested parties, just to let them know, because the importance of this is just to be very clear about what regulations do and don't apply. But you're right, it does introduce a great amount of confusion for people with properties affected by this.
Okay.
Do you have a sense of how many properties have been developed in the interim which would now be nonconforming?
Bureau of Development Services has compiled a list of those properties. It's in the order of magnitude of hundreds. There's a range of improvements that have been made, so it's not a case where everything is, residential use that's no longer allowed in an industrial zone. There are many minor permits that have been approved over that period of time.
Thank you. And so that those will be front and center and part of the process discussion.
Well.
Yes.
Those will be prioritized for providing certainty to as quickly as we can. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sue, do we have people signed up?
We had one, Pete Colt.
Mr. Colt? Yeah, Juliet Hines, would you like to come forward? That's okay. Anyone else wish to testify that didn't sign up? Now would be a time to come forward. Mr. Bradley? Welcome to the City Council. I think each of you are veterans of this process.
Juliet, please go first. Go ahead.
I would say on this particular item that if you are a registered lobbyist or believe you will soon qualify as a registered lobbyist for the city, you need to declare that as part of your testimony. So welcome. Ms. Hines.
I'm Juliet Hines. I live at 2324 Northwest Marshall, and I am president of the Northwest District Association. And I'm here to relay some concerns from my board. We passed a motion about this the other night. 4 points. And this is looking forward to whatever's going to happen next in September. They want to just make sure that we have a voice in what happens next. They want to make sure that there's ample outreach to affected neighbors and an opportunity for their involvement. It sounds like that's already started. We want to consider refreshing the 2003 plan because it's already 6 years old. Some parts of it are getting a little stale. Other parts of it were never optimal to begin with. There's some questions about whether it still meets statewide planning goals or not, and I think some research needs to be done into that. And we're all having a little trouble explaining to our neighbors how Ordinance 17020, which is predicated on the currently invalid 2003 plan, can stand alone. And I had a neighbor pursuing me on her bike yesterday to talk to me about this. So any assistance you can give us in...
Is that the transportation
that's
piece?
The parking, yeah.
Parking and transportation. Okay. Yeah, so. We can get you, we'll get the city attorney to get me an answer and I can give it to you. Thank you very much. Mr. Bradley?
John Bradley. I live at 2350 Northwest Johnson. I'm chair of the planning committee for the NWDA, and I'm just here to reemphasize the fact that we'd like to get this dealt with as soon as possible because it's been hanging fire a long time. And I also think it is important that we look at this plan as a whole and get it refreshed. We're, you know, already 6-7 years into a 20-year plan. Maybe time to look at it again. Look at it a little more comprehensively to see what needs to be changed and what has changed on the ground since then. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Pete Colt, 221 Northwest 18th, corner of 18th and Everett. First of all, I want to thank the city for sending this out. I also want to make the city council aware that on NWDA's website, there is nothing posted about what was on the agenda for citizens in the neighborhood to get involved in this process. Also, I'm here... not just speaking for myself, I'm speaking for Father George Wolfe, the pastor of St. Mary of the Immaculate Conception's Cathedral, the Northwest Street, Northwest Hoyt Street Homeowners Association, the Victorian Condo Association, Dr. John Dougherty, and dozens of neighbors in my part of Northwest. We really would like to see the plan updated. We also would like to include the fact that in our particular part of the neighborhood, we do favor a garage on the west side of Metropolitan Learning Center. There are several reasons for this. Most of them have to do with public safety. The first reason is that intersection there is party central in the neighborhood. So you have lots of 20-somethings and 30-somethings going to the bars, and they're hanging out there. They come into the neighborhood and they park and then they take off at 2:30 in the morning and they're drunk. Now, if we can have a central location for them to park and have a police presence every now and then, we can teach these kids, these 20-somethings, that it's not okay to drink and drive. They might drink less. They might decide to go ahead and get themselves a designated driver. The side benefit of that is for the people on Hoyt, for Father George, for myself, and people in that part of the neighborhood who also have to deal with the Marathon Taverna. We wouldn't have people parking in front of our homes because concurrent with that garage and whatever else is done in our particular part of the neighborhood, our part of the neighborhood is sort of like the throwaway zone where people come to park for PGE Park. And we're always picking up bottles and condoms and beer cans after whatever goes on at PGE Park. So we'd like to see really strict parking enforcement. The dissolution of Zone K and Zone L, the unity of Zone K and Zone L, and resident and guest parking only. And so the garage is an advantage for that. There are a few other reasons, one of them being that at Metropolitan Learning Center, Frank Scotto, the principal, has to get out there on GLSEN 2 times a day, once in the morning and once in the afternoon, to direct traffic. He puts on a vest, and as the parents line up to pick up their kids, so it's really dangerous for the kids and the parents out there. And a garage might help. The parents could pull in and pick up their kids there, and we'd get them off the street that way. So thanks, and shame on you for having a plastic cup. Bad.
I'll recycle it for you.
Pete, it's always good to hear from you.
Thanks. Commissioner Fish, I should tell you what I have in the basket, and you'll actually like this.
You're not going to throw anything out.
Actually, this is something
No toxic materials. Thank you for your testimony.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We need to clear the building after your Thank you. Time. Thank you all. Mr. Ramos, do you want to speak? Anyone else wish to speak on resolution, council calendar item 1193? Welcome to the City Council.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For your record, Tim Ramos. I'm a lawyer and a registered lobbyist with the city, and I'm here today on behalf of Singer Properties in support of the resolution. And we commend the staff and the city attorney's office for taking this step to clarify the zoning situation in Northwest Portland. Singer Properties was involved with the city attorney's office in defense of the parking regulations, which were adopted subsequent to the comp plan. And as you may know, after six separate legal attempts to invalidate those regulations, the courts have upheld those regulations and they are valid. As the resolution makes clear, the parking regulations were adopted in a separate ordinance, not part of the remand. And for those who may still have questions about the parking status, I certainly defer to the city attorney on this, but my understanding is of the case law is that the public record establishes three fundamental legal truths about the parking regulations. Number one, the parking regulations ordinance has been judicially certified to be valid, acknowledged, and in effect. Despite the challenges, the courts carefully considered all of the arguments and decided that none of the opponent arguments were valid, and therefore the result is the upholding of the parking regulations. Second, the parking regulations are not before the council as a part of the remand. They were adopted under a separate ordinance. That separate ordinance has been remanded back to you, but the parking regulations were not part of it, and because the parking ordinance was upheld, it was not remanded. So it is not before you. The remand does not confer jurisdiction on the council over parking matters. Third, the resolution before you recognizes and clearly states that the parking regulations are in effect. If you look at the language of the resolution, it makes clear that the parking regulations were separately adopted and therefore not affected by the remand that's before you. We appreciate the clarity that the staff put in the resolution on that point. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ramos. Anyone else wish to testify?
Mayor Katz, it would be appropriate for me to make a few statements rather than get back to you later. I'm not the attorney who was involved in this case, but it is our office's position. We concur with Mr. Ramos's testimony that Luba's case determined that the parking regulations were not predicated on the Northwest District Plan themselves, so they remain in effect, were adopted as a separate ordinance. So,
thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Sue, would you please call
Mayor, before we have the, let me just clarify yep. something, and I apologize for stepping out a moment earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We have a time certain on the district plan now in September. Is that right?
I don't know that we have an actual time certain yet, but we're going to have one.
There will be a September time certain on the remand issue.
Correct. As when I introduced it, the resolution, I explained that city attorney recommended that we go forward with this statement, notify all potential stakeholders in the neighborhood. I want to use this time to confer with each of you, the community, and the Planning Commission on sort of steps moving forward most substantively and permanently in response to this. This is a legal housekeeping.
Okay, thank you.
And is that the one that's in the evening on the 16th?
Might be.
I mean, because you had a motion.
We have it scheduled for the 23rd at 2 o'clock.
Okay, and we'll look to get an evening hearing on it.
Good, thank you for the clarification.
So, Sue, we'll work on that afterwards with everyone's schedule. So we'll work to get an evening hearing. All right. Sue, please call the roll.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Fritz. Well, this is a necessary clarification, and I'll be following and supporting the public process. And know that there's a lot of good work gone into this, and there's going to be even more good work done. Aye.
Fish.
Now, I want to thank the Planning Bureau staff for the briefing they gave me, kind of explaining where we are and what the next steps are. I think I actually even understand it. So thank you very much for your time. Aye.
Adams.
Thanks to the great team at Planning, our district liaison for this area. It's fantastic to have district liaisons for every area of the city now. And what a great way to cut your teeth. Aye. Resolution is approved. Can you?
Have you done 1191 yet?
We waited on, no.
No, we're waiting for you.
We're going to go come back. We're going to go back to 1191. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, council calendar item 1191?
Authorize a contract for $831,000 with BBC Research and Consulting for the 2009 disparity study.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. As part of your commitment to making sure that we expand opportunities for women-owned and minority-owned and emerging small businesses, you've asked me to take the lead in the work that we do at the city around our disparity study. And Christine Moody is here to tell us about the process we've gone through to select a vendor to help us conduct this study, awarding contracts in an equitable fashion to minority and women-owned businesses, helps our local economy while ensuring access and fairness throughout our contracting processes. I'm pleased that we are moving forward with this important study. The city authorizes roughly $91 million in construction contracts annually. The study that is to be launched is a tool that will guide our ability to leverage our resources to contract with underserved communities. Before we hear from Christine, I have a few thank yous I'd like to make. First to Jeff Baer, who is now director of the Bureau of Internal Services. Congratulations to Jeff for his elevation. To Christine Moody, who was interim purchasing agent for the Bureau of Purchasing. What's your current title?
That's
your current title, excuse me. To Jim Van Dyke and Tracy Reed from the City Attorney's Office, Linda Andrews at PDC, Loretta Young, Bureau of Purchases, Carmen Rubio on my team. This year, we made the decision to reduce the project cost in order to account for the economic challenges the city is facing, and we are now on track with an aggressive timeline with an even sharper focus in our work. And I look forward to meeting with the new team that is to be selected by our action today early next month, and I will be working with the mayor to appoint an advisory committee specific to this particular project who will help me to make sure that we get it right. By October of next year, I am confident we will have a reliable state-of-the-art study that will guide all of our future contracting processes. And with that, I want to introduce Christine Moody.
Thank you, Commissioner. So before you is an ordinance recommending authorization of a contract with BBC Research and Consulting for a City of Portland, Portland Development Commission disparity study contract in the amount of $831,000. So by way of background, the city was the lead agency in the Oregon Regional Disparity Study in 1995 that examined public construction contracting methods. The conclusion was that minority and women-owned businesses were underutilized at a prime contracting level, and that there were steps that the city could take to ensure public contracting dollars benefited the entire community. The study made a series of recommendations that resulted in the city's adoption of a fair contracting and employment strategy. It's time to update the findings and recommendations from the 1995 study. The new study will analyze and evaluate the effectiveness of race and gender-neutral practices in public construction contracting and facilitate the continuation and development of city and PDC strategies and policies. BBC Research and Consulting was selected through a competitive request for proposals process and was selected as the most qualified respondent for their experience in conducting disparity studies and having comprehensive knowledge of procurement-related affirmative action programs for minorities and women. The RFP selection committee was made up of 5 evaluators, 4 city staff representing Commissioner Fish's office, the city attorney's office, PDC and purchases, and 1 community member, Jamie Lim of the Asian Reporter. 22% of the total contract dollars on this contract will go to local MWSB firms. This project is expected to take 1 year with a final report of the findings expected by October 2010. And the available funding is $540,000 from the city and $291,000 from PDC. So I'll turn it back over to council if you have any questions.
Any discussion from council?
Can you just give us a thumbnail sketch of BBC Research? Where are they located?
They are.
You said they've done a lot of this work.
They've done a lot of this work nationwide. They are not headquartered here locally, but they have subcontracted and subconsulted with many MWSB firms locally for performing interviews and for helping along with the study. They've also contracted with the local law firm to help with the legal remedies that may come from the new study.
And by the way, in the Exhibit A to the ordinance, you'll see that some familiar names of of people who are subcontractees, including Andre Ball, Faye Birch, and Jonathan Cologne, who are all part of the team that's been pulled together by the contractor.
So could I just ask a question about that? I'm looking at the page that has the hourly rate schedules, and I'm wondering why the one woman is being paid less than the other principals and the leader.
You know, as a general matter, we through our competitive contracting process, Commissioner Fritz, we don't inquire into how the money is allocated. We look to the overall participation, and that would not be something we would rank or grade. Something we can ask at BBC, and we'd be happy to pass that inquiry along, but it would not be part of our review process.
Can you, because I'm learning about how contracts are given, and sometimes it's low bid, and sometimes it's an RFP and such. Could you just tell me a little bit more about what the criteria were to select
this?
We have the
expert here.
So this was done on a request for proposal, so there's other criteria that's evaluated besides just cost, which would be in a low bid situation. And this particular RFP had project experience and the company's experience and their capabilities. Cost was a factor that was equal because that was an important factor for the city.
And if I could just clarify that, this is important. The default grid that the city had, surprisingly to me, ranked cost as one of the lowest factors in terms of the weight given to all the factors considered in the contracting process. And I want to compliment Bureau of Purchases and the team for their flexibility, because what we did is actually revised the weight, because we felt that cost should not be one of the least factors in our review process, that in fact it should be at the top of the list and equally weighted with some other important criteria. So we actually bumped up cost as a factor, gave it higher visibility in terms of the RFP.
Commissioner Fish, you've been communicating with me about this since I came into office in January, and I greatly appreciate all the work that you've done on this. How is the percentage of minority and women-owned businesses weighted into the decision?
So as Commissioner Fish said, we allocated equal points for everything on the second go-around of this RFP. So there was 20 points available for diversity in contracting and 20 points available for cost, along with the other factors of proposal capabilities and the other things I mentioned earlier. So it was all equally weighted.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Unless there's additional discussion, is there anyone wishes to testify on Council Calendar Item Emergency Ordinance 1191? Sue, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman.
Aye.
Fritz.
Good work. Aye.
Fish.
Thank you, Christine and Jeff and the whole team. This took a little longer to do because we wanted to be meticulous, and we also wanted to tweak the parameters to make sure, again, that cost was given its due weight and that the taxpayers knew that in selecting the best contractor for this, we were also mindful of the bottom line. Thanks for your good work, and thank you, Mayor Adams, for framing this at the leadership level as a first-tier issue for the city. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Fish for enthusiastically taking on this responsibility. This is a really important responsibility as we seek to become a more sustainable city. Social equity and economic justice must be at the top of our list, and under the Croson decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, this study and the results of this study will dictate how aggressive we can be in many facets of our public procurement process. So having someone who's actually trained in this area of endeavor as a lawyer is a huge advantage to the city, and I want to thank you for taking it on. It's a very important work. Thank you. Aye. 1191 is approved. We are now ready for emergency ordinance, council calendar item 1190.
Designate and assign a property owned by the City of Bureau of Environmental Services to Bureau of Planning and Sustainability for use in the Diggable Cities program.
Well, I'll make a few introductory comments and then turn it over to Commissioner Saltzman. Commissioner Fish and I are working on a strategy to eliminate the waiting list for community garden plots. We have a waiting list of about 1,300, and that work is underway. In the meantime, we're busy trying to get as much land as possible to the efforts of local gardening. And today, my colleague, Commissioner Saltzman, has helped spearhead an effort to help us move forward on our efforts to have more gardening, urban gardening, taking place in the city with the transfer of land from the Bureau of Environmental Services to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, who in turn will work with Mercy Corps and the New American Agricultural Project to cultivate the land, and Steve Cohen, the Food Policy Manager, who we'll hear from in a minute. The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability is going to give us a little more detail. But Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. I think one of the most frequently downloaded site on my webpage is our Diggable Cities inventory, which we did in conjunction with the Office of Sustainable Development about 4 or 5 years ago, when somebody came forward to City Council and requested that some BES-owned property be used for a community garden in Selwood. And it seemed like such a great, straightforward type of idea. Yeah, use the surface of the property for a garden. So we decided, well, how many other properties in the city do we have that might be like this? And that launched the Diggable City Inventory, which also PSU participated in. And we identified all city-owned property throughout the city, and that's still available on my website, the Diggable City report. But the whole premise is to find compatible but beneficial uses for city property that are not otherwise being used or otherwise committed to a particular purpose. And what we have here today is sort of a manifestation of that Diggable City inventory once more. The Bureau of Environmental Services has acquired this parcel in 1992, and for the most part, the property has remained vacant and held as open space. And it has been included, or it will be included with our actions in the Diggable City inventory, or it has been in there. And as the mayor said, this past spring, the nonprofit Mercy Corps Northwest approached the city about leasing the property as an urban garden site as part of the program for immigrants and refugees starting small-scale farm projects. So I'm very glad that the city can support such a worthy endeavor, and we're happy to be able to contribute to Mercy Corps' success. And so I guess at this point, Steve Cohn and somebody from Mercy Corps, I think.
Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for your time this morning. I want to thank the Bureau of Environmental Services for their collaboration and support of the program, and Commissioner Saltzman for your long-range vision on this project. One of the parcels that was identified in the Diggable City inventory was this particular one we're talking about today at Southeast 33rd and Sherritt. It is a three-quarter acre site, and as you mentioned, it was acquired at no cost to the city in 1992 through a Multnomah County tax foreclosure. It has been used for agriculture and gardening uses in the past, and mostly it has remained in open space. And the ordinance before you this morning transfers the responsibility for this property from BES to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Our Bureau has worked with Mercy Corps Northwest, who, after gaining approval of the adjacent neighbors, proposed the shared site be used for the New American Agriculture Project. And David Beller is here today to tell you about that. He leads the program, and he can tell you about this project, which combines urban agriculture, supports diverse communities, promotes healthy lifestyles, and creates economic opportunity.
Thank you. Again, my name is David Beller, and I manage the New American Agriculture Project with Mercy Corps Northwest.
We help immigrants and refugees to grow healthy food in the city of Portland and near the city limits. One issue we've had is acquiring land. Some of our participants have access to automobiles, others don't. So the ability for our participants to get to land with public transportation is really important. We identified this site as having a good profile in terms of its past use for urban agriculture and its vicinity to refugee populations. We approached the city and found a lot of receptiveness to using this site. So I think it's a real win-win for everyone. The city doesn't have to mow it anymore. And we're happy to grow healthy food and empower people through that. We're working in Southeast now with a number of Nepalese refugee families. It's a group of ethnic Nepalese that lived in Bhutan. They were displaced from Bhutan by the Bhutanese government, and ended up back in Nepal, but weren't recognized as citizens in Nepal. So a number of those refugees are now settled in Portland. We've had a lot of success working with these groups this spring. The shared property will allow us to expand our work with this group. So we're really excited for the possibility. In the process, it was really important for us to make sure that the neighborhood's input was involved. We had clear expectations about how our participants would interact with the neighborhood. We had an initial meeting to get input on different ideas for the site, and the neighbors really put forward the idea that they wanted to have a established organization and not too many participants. There'll be three main families that will be working on this land. Those are extended families with parents and adult children. And we put forward a proposal and got neighborhood input and buy-in, and then we're able to come to the city. So anyways, thank you for your interest in urban agriculture and support of refugee resettlement efforts. So
does the property have water?
Yeah, there's municipal water there. Yeah.
Commissioner Fish? So Steve, I have a couple questions. The first is, for an opportunity like this to come to fruition, how long a commitment do we need to make in terms of access to the land to make it worthwhile for any of our nonprofit partners to farm it and to create a program?
Well, this particular project is a pilot project, and we have a lease with Mercy Corps for 3 years, which they, in terms of this land, has, because it's been used for agriculture before, is pretty much ready. We wouldn't need to have any sort of mitigation for any problems. They've done soil testing and found that the land is pretty much ready to go. So in this particular case, on an interim basis, there's not a lot of work that has to be done. So I would actually ask David, because we've talked before in regard to parcels that you've been looking at, if you knew in advance how long you could have a parcel for, what would be your optimum time in regard to saying we're going to go in or not going to go in?
Optimum, I'm assuming, would be fee simple transfer life. But what's the shortest amount of time that would
shortest
still be?
Amount.
Would
we,
still be
we asked for a 3-year commitment from the city, three seasons. The soil is in good shape, but it hasn't been farmed for a while, so it is some work to reestablish it for agricultural use in terms of weed management. So we wanted to think about that and also building the soil and. Just getting to know the land takes a while. I think when you first, we're on a lot of new pieces of land in the first season, there's a learning curve, just understanding the intricacies of pests and disease and weed management on the soil. So we asked for a three-year commitment seemed to be a minimal amount of time for us.
Three years? Yeah. And I'm curious, in terms of urban agriculture, which goes beyond the scope of what we would do like in a community garden, do you have some of the same challenges? The mayor, Commissioner Saltzman mentioned water, so you already have municipal water on the site. Mm-hmm. That's usually a big barrier, both in the installation and the SDC side. Yeah. Do you have to have fencing to do this, or can it be open?
We're not at this point anticipating that we'll need to fence the land.
So, Steve, I just wanted to plant a seed. Sorry for the bad pun. Mm. And that is that to hear that 3 years may be enough time, or let's just say, for argument's sake, 3 to 5 years for Horizon, You know, in my neighborhood, we've got the old Whitaker site. And I don't see Portland Public Schools making a decision too quickly on what they're going to do there. And they want to keep it as a backup for all kinds of options. I mean, that is about as choice a piece of dirt. And it seems to me, whether it's community gardens or something more ambitious around agriculture, we ought to go sit down with PPS and find out if there's a 3 to 5 year horizon where we could take that land, find a partner, and do something.
In the phase 3 report of the Digable City, that was exactly where we had gone. Certainly we've talked about that before, that the city does not have a plethora of land that is not being used or is not master planned. Most of the land is spoken for one case or another. So particularly we would like to look at schools, churches, corporations that do have these large parcels of land, which would be more appropriate.
Great idea. Nice. Thank you.
I think the nature of this land is that we won't need to sink a lot of money in it, so that 3-year time frame makes sense. I think in other sites, maybe that's different, where there's a large water fencing cost that we need to explore, maybe different time horizons. But appreciate this is a really important thought process, I think, as we're moving forward with projects like this.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you very much for all your work on this, and commending Mayor Adams and Commissioner Saltzman for this. Why is the partnership with planning and rather than with parks?
Because the Food Policy Council is actually attached to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. It used to be exclusively with sustainability. Part of what Commissioner Fish and I will figure out as we work through Oregon Solutions is making sure that the organization and assignment of these issues make total sense. But right now we're being very opportunistic and moving forward as quickly as possible, and when these opportunities come up.
And Amanda, next week is Community Garden Week nationally, and the mayor and I are going to have a little announcement at council, and then as part of that announcement, we'll just explain the partnership that is required to make this work.
Okay, that's helpful. And my other question is, why did Environmental Services buy this property in the first place?
It was obtained at no cost. This was as Steve said, it was a county foreclosed property.
It was a county foreclosed property that was going to be used as a land bank for the Johnson Creek watershed. It is not in the Johnson Creek watershed, and currently BES has no use, particular use for the property. It has to, by that deed, be kept in open space, or else it reverts back to the county.
And it went to Environmental Services at that time?
Well, we
probably because BES requested it. I mean, the county, I actually worked on this as a county commissioner, you know, identified a process to flag environmentally significant properties or potentially community garden properties that could be requested first by other governmental entities like parks or BES for open space purposes.
Yeah. And that's a terrific program. Yeah. Thank you for doing that. How do we decide which bureau gets dibs on a particular foreclosed property?
Well, I know the list, is scrutinized by parks. It's scrutinized by BES. I think Bureau of Housing looks at it, too.
Short answer is we decide on the city council.
So at some point, do these come along every so often and we get a list? Or
not really.
I think it's done more at the bureau level.
Yeah. They work among themselves if they see a property that they think they need and it's under public ownership, they pursue it. The Johnson Creek watershed, the notion of land banking as a mitigation in Johnson Creek watershed, I don't think we're pursuing that policy anymore either, so it also becomes surplus because we're actually making the changes in Johnson Creek watershed much more than we are sort of the idea of mitigation offsite. Anything else? All right, thank you. Anyone wish to testify on council calendar item? Wherever we're at, 1190. Sue, please call the roll.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Mercy Corps and the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability for their great work here to produce a true win, which is taking some city-owned property and putting it to a productive agricultural use and to help build community among some new immigrants and refugees that we have here and to do it in a way I think that will set a good pilot that hopefully we can pilot with Mercy Corps or other organizations in the future to produce community garden, urban agricultural opportunities like this. So thank you all and look forward to a successful pilot. Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for your partnership, and thanks to each of my colleagues for your work on this. The Victory Garden in front of City Hall is a great example of finding any spaces and turning them into gardens, especially at this time. And it's great how the community has embraced that garden, and I hope that they will also embrace this one and share it. Aye.
Fish.
Well, first, Dan, this is just a fantastic initiative. Thank you for all the work you've done on it. To Steve, who's my neighbor, sort of, thanks for all your good work. And Mercy Corps, you know, is our partner on this. Mercy Corps, Executive Director of Mercy Corps, is helping the Housing Bureau reimagine how it may be organized. John Haynes has been working with us on that. And Mercy Corps is also helping us work with some faith communities that want to do some hunger relief work in our backyard. And so with all the hats you wear over there, we're really grateful for the partnership. And I also just want to note that as we celebrate this wonderful partnership, we also had some news recently about the vandalization at the Earl Boyles Community Garden. And I'm not in the habit of referring to murmurs in Willamette Week, but since they did actually write about it, it's this Saturday from 10 to 12. There will be a work party to actually rebuild the community garden. I know, Steve, a lot of the folks in this movement will be there. I want to extend an invitation to people who want to come spend an hour or two replanting, speaking out about the vandalization of that community garden, and then doing some community building out in Powellhurst Gilbert. And thank you, Amanda, for bringing Oni to the team and helping us make this into a positive community event. Aye.
Adams.
Well, thank you very much, appreciate all your good work. And wanted to, the Diggable Cities program was an early inspiration for this effort, and want to underscore my thanks to Commissioner Saltzman for bringing that forward, and the ongoing work of Commissioner Fish as well. More to come. Aye. 1190 is approved. Can you please read the title? Second reading for Council Calendar. Item, ordinance contained in 1194.
Adopt and implement the Hayden Island Plan and amend comprehensive plan map.
Please call the roll.
Saltzman.
Thanks to everybody for their hard work. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, particularly thanks to Mayor Adams for continuing this process until he was sure that everybody had been heard. And I was very impressed, especially at the last hearing where after having, it seemed like about 60 first readings and second readings of this, that folks were still coming in and that the mayor in particular was careful to make sure that they knew that their concerns had been heard. Thanks to Joe Zender and Jessica Richmond, who are here, for incorporating all of my amendments. And the collaboration that's been done by city staff with the port, the businesses, the residents, and the property owners. We're very clear that the West Hayden Island Plan is a separate process, but this has been a very good process in itself, and it's come up with a plan which will work for Hayden Island and which has many references to other projects, the Columbia River Crossing and the West Hayden Island Plan and other potential bridges or whatever. But that's the essence of a good neighborhood plan, is that it looks to the future and looks at a broad range of possibilities and sets some guidelines, some frameworks for how decisions are going to be made in a collaborative manner. And so I believe that all of the amendments that were offered that were of merit are now incorporated. There were some that were suggested, which I accept the staff's recommendation for why we're not going to do those changes. And it's delightful to have neighborhood plans, and it evidences the importance of funding neighborhood planning and having excellent planners and communities engaged in looking to the future and doing some practical changes in zoning, in land use planning, in trails, all of the things that go to make this a successful planning process. And now we need to look at the implementation. We need to look to the Columbia River Crossing project to provide some mitigation funds for parks and other amenities on Hayden Island. We need to make sure that the West Hayden Island planning process is done in a fair and constructive manner and that we continue to include all parties. But this is exciting. And again, thank you to Mayor Adams for taking the lead on this. Aye.
Adams.
I can't believe 2 years. It's only been 2 years since we started this process. And it started with a temporary development moratorium in response to plans for a I-5 traffic gridlock causing proposed development of a superstore on the island. And that proposal put a spotlight on the fact that Hayden Island had been ignored since it was annexed.